Sisters, today's the last khatira that I have is 29th night, and I wanted to give a spiritual talk, but wallahi, all day seeing what's happening in Palestine and seeing the news is just so overwhelming. And I think we do deserve a little bit of a talk, especially for our, again, young men and women, and frankly, not just them, all of us, about a bit of a aqidah or theology issue. Because it's human nature, brothers and sisters, it's human nature that we feel hurt, depressed, questions come. How can this be happening? You know, 9 children were killed, 9 kids. And these are people that are already for 75 years living the way that they are. My entire life, and I'm in my mid-40s, my entire life, and we're hearing about the Palestinian crisis, as if nothing has changed. I mean, shaitan comes and you do feel overwhelmed, somewhat even depressed. There's not even a light at the end of the tunnel. Nothing seems to change from bad to worse. And now Al-Aqsa itself has been, as we know, trampled on, literally inside. Troops are there. And Allah knows what's going to happen the next few days. And some of our own elected politicians, alhamdulillah, a few of them tweeted some generic, but as you know, the majority of them, blatant disregard for our brothers and sisters and complete support of an apartheid regime. You can't help but feel overwhelmed. So I think for myself and all of us, just a quick reminder and talk about how do we understand and contextualize? How do we really make sense, really? I think that's really the question. How do we make sense as Muslims? Isn't our religion the truth? I mean, you kind of sort of sympathize with Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu and the Treaty of Hudaybiyah when he comes to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulallah, how can we accept this? Are we not upon the haqq? Even his anger, it is Islamic in its own way, even though it was directed to the Prophet ﷺ. And he himself said, I did many deeds to make up for that day. He felt very guilty. But the essence of his anger is Islamic. Like, how can this be happening, Ya Rasulullah? How can we accept humiliation and dhul? And we are the believers in Allah. In fact, as we know, he even said, Alasta ala al-haq? And we needed Abu Bakr, by the way, radiallahu anhu, to come to him and grab him by the collar and say, sit down, Ibn al-Khattab. What are you doing? Who are you talking to? In any case, that's a whole different issue. The anger that Umar radiallahu anhu felt, we should all, at some level, be feeling it. But we need to have aqidah and iman to understand what is to be done. The first point, dear brothers and sisters, and as always, time is always working against us. The first point, and it's a very difficult point, wallahi, but it's one of the most obvious. Political power is not a sign of Allah's pleasure. And political defeat is not a sign of Allah's anger. On the contrary, we begin to contextualize by de-linking izzah in this world with izzah in the eyes of Allah. We have to de-link it. The two are not causally related. It is possible that the most honored people are not shown honor by the inhabitants of this earth. And that doesn't mean that the Creator does not show them honor. That's how we begin to understand and make sense of this. Because this dunya is not the ultimate goal. This world is not an indication of whether Allah is pleased with you or not. As Allah says in the Quran, كُلًّا نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ. We will give this dunya to all. Ha'ulai means the believers. Wa ha'ulai means the Quraysh and Kuffar. Kullan numiddu. Ha'ulai wa ha'ulai min a'ta'i rabbik. Allah's blessings of this dunya are open to all. And there are times and situations where the righteous do not live to see the fruits of their piety in this world. How many were the Sahaba martyred in Mecca? Was their death for no cause? They never saw Medina. They never saw the fruits of their own patience. Our Prophet ﷺ passed by the Sahabi whom my father named me after, Yasir, and his wife Sumayya, and they are being tortured to death, the first martyrs. Can you imagine how he himself ﷺ felt? And what could he do other than say, صَبْرًا عَلَى يَاسِرٍ فَإِنَّ مَوْعِدَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Now I'm not advocating, by the way, pacifism, don't misunderstand me. I'm saying we need to begin the discussion by understanding aqidah and theology. That this world and the izzah of this world means nothing. That's why Allah reminds the Quraysh that, hey Quraysh, you think you're powerful? There were people more powerful than you. كَانُوا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ وَأَكْثَرَ. They were more than you. They had more quantity than you. فَاسْتَمْتَعُوا بِخَلَقٍ. They used to take advantage of their strength. What happened to them? So izzah in this world has nothing to do with izzah in the eyes of Allah. And in fact, one can even make the case, as our Prophet ﷺ explicitly said, that when Allah loves a people, what does he do? He tests them. And so at times, being tested can actually be interpreted as a sign of raising one's ranks. Another way we begin to understand what is going on is that if we truly believe in the promise of Allah, inshallah all of us do, then we have to have yaqeen at some level that the positives that will come are greater than the negatives. This is something that we have to have yaqeen about. Now those negatives might be painful. The suffering of people, the loss of innocent lives, humiliation. But we have to believe that overall the positives will outweigh the negatives. And that only comes if we have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla reminds us in the Quran that when one of the worst incidents or the most traumatic incidents happens in the seerah, which is the slander of Aisha, what did Allah azza wa jalla say? لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. Don't think what happened is bad. No, overall there's going to be positives that come out. There's going to be positives. And after the battle of Uhud, when the Sahaba really were demoralized, there was a sense of panic and sadness. Allah revealed Ali Imran, Surah Ali Imran. It's very important to read Ali Imran after any one of these incidents happen because it cheers us up. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions so many things. Every time a calamity happens to you, are you going to go back to your aqabikum? You're going to go back as if nothing happened? Awakullama, every time something happens, Allah reminds the Sahaba that, look, you're going to be in pain and suffering, but they're also having in pain and suffering. And you have what they do not have. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. The two sufferings are not the same. You have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a wisdom here. And in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions so many times that the end result, the victory, will always be eventually for the believers. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So we have to have that in our aqidah and iman, that eventually, yes, truth does come forth from falsehood. And the victor that Allah says in the Quran, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. Allah has decreed that me and my messengers shall eventually be victorious. This is the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Another point that we have to understand as well is that individual pain and suffering, the suffering of the people there, it is something that Allah Azza wa Jal is testing them with to raise their ranks. As we already mentioned, there is wisdom in pain and suffering. And that wisdom is that people reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People turn to Allah azza wa jal. Their spirituality rises high. Unfortunately, this is our reality. When things are going good and easy, when things are nice, our soul becomes lax. We don't have a connection with Allah. But at times of stress and difficulty, that's when our iman soars. And so those that are suffering and in pain, and we see, mashallah, the bravery and the courage. We see what is happening to the people of Asham, and the Prophet ﷺ praised the people of Asham. So we have full yaqeen that what is meant for them is positive. And in fact, we learned this directly from the Quran when Allah mentioned a case that in some ways is even more brutal than what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Palestine, not to compare or contrast. But we know what happened to the Bani Israel under Fir'aun. We know what he did. We know how many centuries of adab. We know he took innocent babies as a policy, and slaughtered them in front of their mothers and fathers. This is something we all know. Now, what does Allah say about the Bani Israel? After Allah mentions that Fir'aun killed and raped and plundered, you know what the next verse is? وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّ مُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّ وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. After mentioning the humiliation to the Bani Israel, what does Allah say? We wanted to bless the children of Israel. We wanted to bless them. نَمُنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ. and we wanted to make them leaders. Subhanallah, Allah just mentions that they're being persecuted, they're being tortured, they're being killed. Allah mentions they lived as servants and slaves. And then Allah says, but we wanted to make them leaders. You know what this shows us? When Allah wants to make a leader, you're going to have to go through a process. A real leader, not the fake ones we have here in other Western countries and frankly Muslim countries as well. Not those leaders. Real leaders. Leaders that generate respect. Leaders that gather the masses. Leaders like Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi. They don't just come out of nowhere. They have to go through struggles. They have to demonstrate commitment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we wanted to bring from them leaders. And inshallah ta'ala, from the ashes of all that we are seeing, there shall emerge leaders. That's our hope and our goal, and it is the sunnah of Allah fi khalqi. In fact, not even a Muslim issue. This is even amongst non-Muslims. Look at any celebrated leader humanity-wise, whatever their faults might have been, and they're not even Muslim. Look at Gandhi, look at Martin Luther King, look at Nelson Mandela. They went through struggles. Nelson Mandela, 20 years or 27 years of solitary confinement. Then he comes out a leader. This is the way humanity works. Going through pain and suffering, you establish your leadership. You establish your credentials. And we have no doubt, insha'Allah ta'ala, that this struggle, this pain, it is forming leaders. Just like gold is put through that furnace, raw gold, polluted gold. You put it through the furnace, and then that furnace separates the real gold from the chaff, from the stuff that you don't need. This is a fitna. This is a turbulence, if you like, that the end of it will demonstrate why this happened. So this is another reason why these pains and these sufferings are happening. Also, for those of us on the outside, subhanAllah, Allah is telling us, what are you doing? Allah is waking us up from our own slumber and sleep. The least that we can do is to appreciate Allah's blessings on us. Wallahi, we are in afiyah. We are in so much afiyah. We should be scared that this might not be a type of adab. Allahumma musta'an. Too much afiyah in some ways makes you lazy, makes you not thinking. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His refuge. We ask Allah for ikhlas. We ask Allah for tawfiq. But wallahi, brothers and sisters, we are spoiled. We are spoiled. We ask Allah to protect our iman. In the spoiling, we lose track of priorities of what we're here for. And so this type of pain and suffering, it must jolt us into action. If it doesn't, then our iman level is flat on the graph of iman. If nothing happens, wallahi, we had better do a heart check, meaning the spiritual heart. The fact that we are reacting and the fact that we're trying to do something, no matter how small it might be and what is to be done, we need the help of experts and political analysts and whatnot. That's not just my job to tell you. But things need to be done. And the very least, our heart should be in unison in pain. The very least, our hands are being raised. The very least, we appreciate the blessings of Allah upon us, which motivates us, or it should motivate us, to be better people, to be more charitable, to cause positive impact in our own countries and lands. This is also a test from Allah Azza wa Jal for us. And this is of the wisdoms of why this is happening. And also, dear Muslims, when such tragedies come down, one of the most bizarre perks that come, this is really strange, but bear with me, we learn who are the hypocrites and traitors from within our own ummah. We learn those who are willing to sell themselves for a measly price. The munafiqun, who have no shame for the sake of their kursis and power, for the sake of their oil-rich companies and their kingdoms, they're willing to form alliances with the worst of the worst. They form alliances with the devil, and they're willing to side against Allah and His Messenger and the people of iman and taqwa. And we thank Allah, لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. These are خُبَثَ خَوَنَ. They're traitors. And we say this openly and publicly. Anybody who sides with an apartheid regime at this point in time against our Palestinian brothers and sisters, against the people of the Kalima, against the people of Ikhlas, wallahi, how can we not have any shame and boycott from those Muslims? How can we not cut off ties? These aren't actual believers in Allah and His Messenger. This is where wala and bara comes into place. So we thank Allah that He is allowing us to see. And by the way, this is what happened in the incident of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. One of the main benefits when Allah says, don't think it's something bad, it's something good. You know why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal demonstrated the reality of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. That evil, evil, evil man. Wallahi, how evil can you be? to start a rumor that is so disgusting and filthy that the books of Sirah don't even verbalize what the rumor was. It's so disgusting and filthy that the actual rumor and slander is never actually spelled out. Whose mind could have been that made up something like that? Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Okay, Ibn Salul is dead, but we have his intellectual descendants and his heirs amongst us, living, walking, talking. As our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shayateen, they are shayateen, but not jinn of the ins. يَتَكَلِّمُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ They speak your language, they look like you, but they are shayateen. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. دُعَاتٌ عَلَى أَبْوَادِ جَهَنَّمْ They are calling people to Jahannam. And we have people like this in our midst. So there's benefit, brothers and sisters, that we know once this is all over, we cannot have anything to do. These are not going to help us. The people that for the sake of money and for the sake of their kursis and their thrones, they're willing to do what they're due. You expect help from these people? It's not going to happen. So Allah has demonstrated, Allah has shown us, and this is in the Quran, in Surah, for the Battle of Uhud. لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ Allah wants to separate the khabith from the tayyib. So we're seeing this, رَأْيَ الْعَيْنِ And from this as well, and my time is up, I know, from this as well, Subhanallah, لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ The tayyib, the pure. And Alhamdulillah, we see what is happening. The people of Asham, and what will make you understand the blessings of the people of Asham. So many ahadith. Sham, by the way, includes Palestine. When the Prophet prays Sham, don't think only Syria. Sham is that entire region which includes Palestine and includes portions of Syria. Actually, the primary emphasis is in fact Baytul Maqdis, because the hadith actually says that Baytul Maqdis wa aknafi Baytul Maqdis. The righteous are going to be in Baytul Maqdis and surrounding Baytul Maqdis. So the point, dear brothers and sisters, is that yes, wallahi, my heart is with you as well, that you do become overwhelmed. And the images really hurt. They really do. And the toxic, conversations and tweets from our politicians and from others as well, from our own midst, wallahi, it hurts. And you just wonder, ila mata, for how long? But Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, that the believers of the past were tested, وَزُلْزِلُوا And they were shaken to the core, حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ And the prophets of old, and the people of iman of old, they themselves question, when will the help of Allah come? And our iman keeps on reminding us, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ Ala inna nasra Allahi qareeb. We just have to keep on saying and believing, because this is not our goal, to see izza in this world. If we see it, alhamdulillah. But our goal is the pleasure of Allah. And Allah is not going to ask us, did you solve the entire crises? But Allah will ask us, what did you do? What did you do? Something has to be done. And all of us do something. And as long as we do something, and as long as we try, and I'm not saying that, a'udhu billah, please don't misunderstand that I'm being a pacifist or whatnot. On the contrary, much has to be done. And some of it cannot just be diplomacy and whatnot. But I'm not the one to do that. And other du'at are not. We need communal help. We need people to come together. We need other institutes far bigger than individuals to begin some processes. And when that happens, inshallah, we hope the ulama and the du'at will be at the forefront, calling for the best and frankly the only solution. But until that happens, I'm not advocating pacifism, but there's activism that is of many other ways. Activism of the tongue, activism of the heart, activism of the pen, activism of social media. Things have to be done, and the tide is going to shift slowly but surely. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be instruments that He uses to bring about khair and barakah. We ask Allah azza wa jal to forgive us for our incapability to do more than what we are doing. We ask Allah to not test us with more than we can bear and burden. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His afiyah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to help us and to not help against us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best of this world and the best of the next world. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.